praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee emphasized the experience of Christ as life and the practical oneness of the believers. He was unbending in his conviction that God's goal is not narrow sectarianism, but the body of Christ. Through his messages in these life studies, he stressed the importance for us to grow in life and to function as Christians so that the body can build itself up. We're happy to bring you recorded portions from his ministry today, along with some of our own thoughts. And we welcome your comments and questions. You can reach us toll-free at 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Now let's join today's program. One of the most interesting aspects of the relationship between husbands and wives is how easily and freely the wife can agree to do something, often involving money, without checking first with her husband. We husbands also make this same mistake with unfortunate frequency, and the result is usually the same. A cooling trend seems to overtake the relationship for a period of time, and the sweetness, at least for a season, is gone. God's relationship to Israel in the Old Testament was also as a husband, and Israel was as his wife. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 2. Thus says Jehovah, I remember concerning you the kindness of your youth, the love of your bridal days, when you followed after me in the wilderness. So, what happened in this marriage when the wife acted on her own? Predictably, the result was always a suffering for Israel. Such a case is recorded in Joshua 9, the story of the Gibeonites. Dick Taylor has joined us today for a message that touches the very essence of the divine romance, a favorite subject of the life study of the Bible, and also a topic that Witness Lee frequently came to in his ministry. Dick, good to have you back again. You've been away for a while, and it's nice to be reunited here today.
It sure is. It's been a while, but I'm happy to be here, and especially, Chris, to touch this matter of the divine romance and this sensitive, delicate relationship of husband and wife. Isn't it good that this ministry has brought us to this central point of the divine revelation, showing us that our relationship with the Lord is a romance.
Right.
He is the husband and the bridegroom. We're the bride and the wife. And this is something where we've got to learn to be sensitive and to be open to Him. Otherwise, we really suffer a lot of ill results. I appreciate the verse you read, how the Lord says, I remember concerning you the kindness of your youth, the love of your bridal days, when you followed after me in the wilderness. So this shows that our real relationship with the Lord is a romance, but this romance is a delicate matter. And just like you said, Chris, sometimes wives can go off and just, especially in the matter of money, do something.
Yeah.
My wife's done that. But like you also said, I also can do it.
Yes.
So we're very good at breaking this delicate relationship and causing a lot of problems. So may we realize from this program that our relationship with the Lord is a romance, and we would be sensitized so that we could be perfected as the bride to really become His counterpart.
Boy, it helps so much to see this picture when we look at a lot of these Old Testament stories. I think most Christians are aware of, in Ephesians chapter 5, of course, Paul makes this connection between the church and Christ as a husband and,
right,
or bridegroom and the bride.
Mm-hmm.
But this metaphor or analogy is not limited or restricted just to Ephesians. It's all through the Bible, and that's why this presentation of this wonderful truth often came from Witness Lee in this context, the divine romance. And
amen.
Really, the whole Bible is a book of this divine romance, isn't
praise
it?
Praise the Lord for this divine romance in the Bible.
Okay, the story we have at hand, we're going to go back a couple of chapters here today in our study in Joshua. We want to go back to chapter 9. And the story of the Gibeonites is, inhabitants of the land, of the good land, and they would have been included on the list of those that the children of Israel had been commanded to rout out completely,
right,
and to utterly destroy and remove from their occupying the land that Israel was to possess.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Gibeonites by now had heard this great success that the children of Israel had had at Jericho and Ai,
mm-hmm,
and how the enemies there, or the kingdoms there, had been utterly defeated, and they realized God was with them. them. And so they cook up a kind of a strategy, and they make up a bit of a story, and they come to Joshua and to the children of Israel and beseech them to treat them kindly because they have supposedly come from a far-off country, and at any rate, it's a deceit in order to gain favor with the children of Israel.
Right.
So let's pick it up here at chapter 9, verse 6. And they went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a far country. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us." So the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the leaders of the congregation swore an oath to them. So, of course, the operative phrase here is they did not take counsel of the Lord. They acted independently, and as we have seen, and we'll see again today, the result was never positive when Israel acted this way.
Right.
All right, let's join Witness Lee Dick, and we'll be back to fellowship on the Divine Romance today.
To study the Old Testament histories and prophecies, you need full scope, full view of the entire Scripture to understand it. By applying the principles of God's economy, which is revealed in the entire Bible, this chapter gives us a record how the children of Israel were deceived by the Gibeons. They were deceived because they are here just like a wife forgetting the husband. This was what exactly Eve did in Genesis 3. The subtle serpent wanted to seduce, to tempt Adam, but he dared not to go to that man. But that man has a counterpart who was, sorry to say, a female. So Satan knows it is easy to deal with a female. The Bible tells us God was the real husband to Israel in the Pentateuch, the first five books written by Moses. There is such a couple. You cannot deny. God became the husband, and man became the wife. And this story, you know, ends in the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem, which is the ultimate consummation of God's elect people. There, in the new heaven, new earth, will be a wife. That the wife, there is a divine romance in the universe, which too got involved. God and his elect. Man failed, so he selected another one. And this one, with all his descendants, the Jewish descendants, the Gentile descendants, became God's wife.
Wonderful to see this again, Dick, that the Bible begins with this view that God had even created the entire mankind to be, you know, in the role, in the position of a counterpart to him, a bride, as Eve was for Adam.
Right.
Mankind was to be for God. And after the fall, of course, he had to do something. So the selection was made that the children of Israel would become now the bride, the wife. But really, we have to see the church and the believers in this same context, don't we?
We surely do. Just like Ephesians 5 is clear, isn't it, Chris, that the church is the bride of Christ. This indicates that the church is a really precious matter. It's a very sweet romance. Appreciate how the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:2 says, "I am jealous over you with a jealousy of God because I've betrothed you to one husband that I might present you to Christ as a pure virgin." This shows that our relationship with the Lord is one of a divine romance. And even the way the New Testament ends is with the New Jerusalem chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 2, and it says, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Mm. So this indicates that the story of the entire Bible is a divine romance. The Lord likened his people in the Old Testament, like you said, Chris, to his bride and to his wife. And now we, in the New Testament, are really in the reality of that. And our relationship with the Lord is very, very intimate and sweet and delicate. And I was thinking of a verse in 1 Corinthians 6, 17, which says, "He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit." That means our relationship with the Lord is the uniting of the divine and the human life. It's the mingling of the divine and the human nature. And it's even the incorporating of the divine and human persons, meaning it is really close and really intimate and really delicate, and it's really a matter of love. I hope that we would even see, just from this portion in Joshua and from our brother sharing, that the real story of the Bible is the story of the divine romance, and that we would live our Christian life in this context, governed by this controlling vision that we're in a romance, the divine romance, and that our days would be filled with many times through the day saying, "Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you," and then being so sensitive and open to our husband.
Wow. You know, in this story in Joshua chapter 9, it's, you know, you almost get the picture of you know, the door-to-door salesman that comes to the house during the day and makes a slick presentation to the housewife, and of course the purchase is made before the husband gets home, and then what happens? And had they really taken their position as a bride here and said, "Gee, let me get back to you, Gibeon Eyes, before we make a deal. we need to check with our husband here."
That's right.
I think they could have been saved from a frustration to the sweet romantic relationship.
You're right. Chris, you used a good word. They could be saved. We need to experience a lot of salvation by checking with our husband.
Let's go back, Dick, to Witness Lee.
In the Old Testament, how many times God repeatedly say, "I am your husband and you are my wife." Isaiah talked this way. Jeremiah talked this way. Hosea talked this way. When did God marry this wife? Well, the best verse is Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1. There, the Lord said to Israel, "You have to remember the love of your bridal days." There were some bridal days. Today, the same thing. You will have quite a time of courtship, right? You need at least 1 year for dating to have it become a courtship. When were God dating with Israel? I'm not joking. I'm speaking the truth. You do have this word. Remember, Israel, the love you have and I had of the bridal days. When God brought Israel from Egypt to the wilderness, and then from there he brought them to Sinai. Sinai was not the dating date. Sinai was the wedding place. Before that day, there were some days God dated with Israel. You think about it. Eventually, they fell in love. My, surely she loved this man. New ladies don't want to marry a hero, right? I tell you, the unique hero, the only hero, the top hero in the universe is the triune God.
Amen.
He is the real hero. Amen. What do you want, Israel? What are you short of? I have the wisdom, I have the ability, I have the power, I have the authority to do everything. Don't you believe when Israel arrived at Sinai, they surely made a definite determination. I have to marry this one.
Well, Dick, as we talked about, Ephesians 5 may mention this matter of the church being the bride and Christ being the bridegroom, but we absolutely need these chapters in the Old Testament to see the details of this romance, don't we?
We really do. And I just listening to our brother in this section, it just reminded me of how precious our relationship with the Lord really is.
Yes.
I was thinking of a message that our brother gave that was called The Divine Romance from the Romans Life Study.
Yeah, Romans chapter 1.
And I still believe that this really shows us what our relationship with the Lord really should be like. We're not just in a relationship that's full of religious duty, but it's a love relationship.
Yeah.
I love the illustration that he used. For example, if I went home today and my wife just fell on the floor and bowed down and said, "Oh, Dick, you're a big husband. I will do this for you. I will vacuum for you. I will wash your floors and this and that." What would I say? I would say, "Silly woman, stand up and give me a kiss." I tell you, the Lord wants us to see something from these verses and from this word, that our relationship with the Lord is one of romance. And even he was madly in love with Israel as his people. Now, we're in the reality as the church. And when you look back at Israel, Chris, you see, he said, "Your love in your bridal days." But if you read the account there, they were still very naughty.
Yeah, they were.
But the Lord was so much in love with them.
Yeah.
He's looking for a response. May we be people who realize how much he loves us as the church, as his bride, and be those who respond to him, giving him kiss after kiss, by telling him so many times, "Lord Jesus, I love you," and being sensitive to his speaking to us.
That picture in the wilderness there, if we read, go back and reread those chapters in Exodus, we really get to see the Lord revealing himself as the one who had everything that Israel needed.
Right.
And that's really what a proper husband is. I mean, in love, this relationship is cultivated, but don't all the wives long for one who can provide everything that they need, that fills up all the lack? And he says, "I have the ability, I have the wisdom. What are you short of? I have the power, I have the authority to do everything. Just be my wife."
That's right.
"Just be my proper bride."
Right.
And the Lord demonstrated again and again, he met every need for them.
He really did. Like Brother Lee said, the triune God is our real hero. May we just love him.
Amen. Dick, let's go back to Witness Lee.
So, it was at Sinai, they got married. Then they wouldn't tell in what way. In a way of a couple. There was a couple watching, the husband and the wife, the triune God and the elect. You see the picture? That was a picture of the God-man. Partly God, partly man. And this part of God is the husband, and that part of man is the wife. Sisters, as wives, you have to learn. Never to leave your husband. Always rely upon him. Be one with him. Suppose I am a wife, and I do have a husband. Now a beggar comes, begging me to give her, a poor lady, some help. Should I do it on my own as a wife? My, such a small thing. Just give this poor lady $20, right? Such a small thing. Do I need to ask about it of my husband? In this chapter, the poor lady was the Gibeonites, begging, asking, entreating for help. Now, what should this wife do? Go to her husband and check with him. But, sorry to say, this dear wife, Israel, they never learned to be habitual in this matter. These independent, individualistic wives, God trapped. There was no protection. There was no safeguard. Remember my word. As you are going to be the wife, you have to be all the time one with Him. This is the intrinsic significance of Joshua chapter 9.
Well, Dick, you asked me the question there as we were listening to Witness Lee, who would see this in Joshua chapter 9? And then he just unfolded it here. This is the intrinsic significance of Joshua chapter 9. Another one of those stories that is read and, maybe talked about in a Sunday school lesson, but how about the intrinsic significance of this chapter, how much it reveals to us in our Christian walk?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You could just read this chapter and just see Israel's failure and they made a deal with the Gibeonites.
Yeah.
But we need to see that our relationship with the Lord is very, very precious, and the intrinsic significance of you, as you said and our brother mentioned, is that we need to be one with the Lord all the time. And I'd like to just say a word here, Chris, that observing Brother Lee for the many years that I was around him, this brother really practiced to be one spirit with the Lord, checking in his daily life and in many things, Lord, am I one with you? In other words, checking with the Lord. And that's always a pattern to me.
Yeah.
And I feel that if there's one thing the Lord's speaking to us from Joshua chapter 9, it's this. May we be those who always practice the intimate, sweet oneness with Christ our husband. Whether we're driving, whether we're at the store, whether we're talking to our wife, no matter what we're doing, if we practice this intimate oneness, surely we will be perfected by Him to be His glorious bride to bring Him back. So may we enter into the intrinsic significance of this chapter, practicing always to be one with Him, being dependent on Him, so that we could be filled with Him to be His bride.
We've often used the example of driving, but the other one you mentioned today touches me about our words.
Yeah.
How many times, right when we're ready to utter that sharp, careless word, if we would stop right there and check with our husband, would we be spared or saved from, a very unpleasant follow-up experience?
Most of the time. He says stop. That's good enough.
Yeah, he does. He says stop, and yet we must speak. We feel like we just have to get this out.
Mm.
And the Lord, again, much like Israel, we're left in the same condition.
Mm.
And they did not consult. They didn't take His counsel, So right there, the Lord would be so quick to not only to tell us to stop, but to supply us grace to stop.
That's right. So how precious is Joshua 9
really
to bring us to this intimate relationship we have with Him for His economy.
Dick, I'm glad the Lord arranged that you could be here for this message. I thought of you when I was first looking at it. Anyway, it worked out that we could have you here in the chair for this one.
What a sweet, tasty, precious message.
Well, hope to have you back soon before you're off again. Thanks for your fellowship today.
You're welcome, Brother Chris.
Okay, our time is about up, but we would like to mention to you the printed Life Study volume that includes not just the book of Joshua, the Life Study of Joshua, but also Judges and Ruth as well. You can get this volume or find out about the other materials we have at Living Stream Ministry. Call us toll-free, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. Or write to us at Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. Or you can send email to radio@lsm.org. For Dick Taylor, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today.
Dear Lord, we give ourselves to Thee. Receive us into Thy wise hands.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. The focus of Living Stream is the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China in the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Witness Lee brought this ministry first to Taiwan, then later to North America, and eventually to the entire world. For more than 20 years, he spoke these life study messages, unveiling how each book of the Bible shows God's eternal plan. God, through Christ, wants to dispense His life and nature into redeemed man, so that man would become God's expression, enlargement, counterpart, and habitation. These studies go far beyond mere doctrine and unveil a personal, practical, and experiential Christ. In these short 26-minute programs, we summarize and condense Witness Lee's rich speaking, But to enjoy all the riches in these messages, we hope you'll visit our website at lifestudy.com. There you can read all of the Life Study messages absolutely free of charge. You can even create your own Life Study reading schedule or download more Life Study audio programs just like this one, and all at no cost. Again, the website, lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.
Was Jesus simply a great religious leader?
The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 29. Based on the scriptures, the religious people were looking for a great leader, but Jesus was introduced to them as a little lamb with a little dove. The lamb is for redemption, to redeem fallen man back to God, and the dove is for life-giving, for anointing, to anoint man with what God is, to bring God into man and man into God. Both the lamb and the dove are needed for man to participate in God. Scripture, John 1:29, and commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.